Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Thank you that are those of you that are in the building. Thank you for being in the building, coming to the house. It's awesome. Give your neighbor beside you, just give them a round of applause. Thank them for being here. Good job, good job. For those of you who are tuning in from church online, we welcome you. We are so excited that you take the time just to be a part of the services from no matter where you are or whenever you're watching. Would you do me a favor, give it up for those viewing church online? It's such an honor to host you. It really is. Well, I'm very, very excited. We're going to start a brand new sermon series today. In fact, honestly, we are coming off of one of my favorite series that Church on the Rock has ever done. If you missed any of last month's series, I would just recommend you go back and check it out online. I would say it ranks in my personal top five, all time, Church on the Rock series. So if you missed it, I'd say go back and check it out. But I'm super excited about today because we're going to start a brand new sermon series called Dangerous Prayers. And the reason that we're calling it Dangerous Prayers is because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. Amen. Amen. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, that is because I stole the image, I stole the title, I stole the content, everybody. I sure did, and I will be unapologetic about it. I've done this before. I've done this from time to time, and so what we're going to do throughout the course of August is I'm actually going to bring you a series that already exists. It was preached by another pastor in another church, and I've spent the last several weeks understudying this from him. I'm going to give all the credit where the credit is due. His name is Pastor Craig Groeschel. He is one of the heroes in my faith. He truly, truly inspires me, challenges me. I really look to him, even though he's from a distance and I don't know him personally, I really look to him as a pastor in my life. So I'm stretched by him. I grow because of his leadership. And he wrote a book earlier this year, or it released earlier this year. He wrote a book and then did a sermon series in his church in February called Dangerous Prayers. And so I'm just going to bring that back to us. We're going to make this a five-part series, and we're going to pray throughout the month of August, five dangerous prayers, if you dare. If you dare, then we will pray these prayers together. We are in a series that is day number one of 21 days of prayer. Come on, if that excites you, can I hear from you? I love these seasons. Each year, our church goes into 21 days of prayer two different times. And in January, it's how we start our year. And we've done this for year after year after year. We start our year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. It is difficult. It is painful. It stretches us. But it also does things deep in our spirits that otherwise would not happen because we have consecrated ourselves, is what the Bible calls it. That means that we've separated from things and from stuff, and we've really given God the space. So instead of looking to food for our nourishment, we are primarily looking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for our nourishment. In August, we call it 21 days of prayer and feasting. Come on, say amen right there. So we're not telling you to separate from things or to stop eating anything. We're not challenging you to fast. You certainly could do that. There's no reason not to do that. I would say just get before God, offer him your best sacrifice. But here's what we do is we intentionally create space and time to dedicate to the heart of our Father because we want to hear from him. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me. You have all kind of great ideas and you got all kind of strategies and you've got all kind of plans. But if we're not going where God is calling, we're going to make mistakes. Come on, isn't that right? I've got all kinds of strategies and thoughts and plans and ideas of what I think God ought to do and how God could best be glorified. And then there are times I get into prayer and I start calling on God and he begins to reveal different things to me as if to say, I got a different plan. You're not as smart as you think you are. Follow me. Amen. So I want to get into this series. I'm very, very excited about it. Point a couple of things out to you. By the way, out in the lobby, if you are in the building today, out in the lobby, we do have a couple of prayer resources. These are things that we always give away. Honestly, we have like some inventory surplus. And so this is some prayer guides that we just decided, let's just kind of clean out all that we have. So out in the lobby, you'll find different types of prayer guides, sort of like this one. This can help guide you through your time of prayer. So I would encourage you, if you are young in your faith, if you would consider yourself to be somebody that doesn't have a very strong prayer life, if you don't really know how to engage with God in a time of prayer and conversation, these are excellent tools for you to have. So if you're in the building, you can grab one of these. If you're watching online, all of this is available online. Just go to our homepage, click prayer, all the resources are there. And then we also provide prayer guides for your children. So if you have young kids and you want to engage them in 21 days, these are much more interactive. They're much more fun. It's really age appropriate for your pastor. It's my favorite one. No, I'm kidding. It's really, really healthy. It's great for your kids. And again, it can engage them into a season of prayer with you so the whole family can be involved together. Anyway, all these resources available online for any of you and then available in the lobby if you're in the building today. We are going to be doing, as you saw the news say, 21 days of prayer services. Come on Monday through Saturday from 6 to 7 right here in this building. If you're comfortable coming, I would love to see you. That means that our Tuesday morning prayer time will move. It will not happen in the morning. It will move to the 6 p.m. slot for the next 3 weeks. Good, everybody? So if you're accustomed to coming on Tuesday mornings and you show up here at 7 a.m., you're going to be alone. You can pray, but you're going to be by yourself. We'll see you at 6 p.m. on those nights. And that's going to happen Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here, also streamed online. So we'll be communicating to you just like this and then available all the next day on an archive. So if you can't make that time because of your work schedule or whatever, you'll still be able to find our prayer service and hit it on demand throughout the entire next day until the new one kicks off. All right, I think I've made all the announcements. I'm ready to get into the series. How about you? Yeah, the series is called Dangerous Prayers. I am wearing my Dangerous Prayer shirt that you bought for me. Thank you, church. I appreciate it. You're probably thinking he's really underdressed to be preaching in a church on Sunday. You're probably right, but I just wanted to represent really well this awesome Dangerous Prayers shirt. In fact, my youngest daughter said to me this morning, she goes, "Dad, that is not a church shirt." And I was like, "You are probably right. I'm going to just keep wearing it anyway." But this is a shirt that kind of represents some of the topics that we are going to hit on the back. All of this stuff is available through life.church. Okay, you could go buy a shirt. You can buy the book. Go to YouVersion. You can do a 7-day Dangerous Prayers devotion if you would like to. But we're going to talk prayer. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Show of hands. If you are in the chat, give me a thumbs up if that's you. Like, yes, I believe in the power of prayer. And if you don't know how to emoji in the chat, type thumbs up and hit enter. If you believe in the power of prayer, where are you at? Come on, let me see you. Let me see you all across the building, all in the chat. Prayer is powerful. Of those people that raised their hands like me and said, "I believe in the power of prayer," how many of you, so it's only going to be a select few of you, how many of you actually believe that your prayer life could get better? Where you at? Come on. If you're in the chat, maybe you just say, "Better. I think my prayer life can get better." It's amazing to me how we as Christ followers can really believe, genuinely believe, passionately believe in the power of prayer. That it's effective. That it moves things. That it does stuff on the inside of us. It impacts our circumstances and it changes situations. And then yet struggle to actually do it. I'm as guilty as anybody in the room. In fact, this whole series, the idea of it is because I was so personally challenged when I watched this series from Pastor Craig, read his book, and been through this content. It challenged me so much. I remember being a little first grader. I went to a very small private school from kindergarten all the way through the eighth grade, and I'll never forget my first grade teacher coming up to me, and she got, you know how teachers do, they get down real close. She said, "Josh, you are a prayer warrior." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's great. Like, I don't even know what made you say that. I don't even remember ever praying, but I'll never forget that she said that. And when she said that to me, it put a confidence in me like, okay, well then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray. That's what I'm going to do. If I'm a warrior, then I'm going to pray." And I remember being young and just having a belief in myself that I could pray because I was told that I was a prayer warrior. And then as I've grown up in life, even pastoring a church, there are times where I feel like my prayer life is just flat, inconsistent, ineffective. There are times where it's like, "What is wrong with you, preacher? Pray." Come on, and I hope I'm not the only one. So I just want to talk prayer over the next several weeks. We're going to pray intentionally over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to get into today our very first topic. But I want to start here, Jeremiah chapter 33. I love this verse. The Bible says, this is a promise to you and me, The Bible says, call to me. This is God talking, and I will answer. Come on, that's good to know. If you will call to me, God says, I'll answer you. I'll respond to you. I'll meet you there. The Bible says in James chapter 4 that if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. The Bible says if we will pursue God with all of our hearts, that he will be found by us. I love the promises that God is near and that God is close and that he will speak to us. And then he says, look, I'm going to show you great and mighty things, things you don't even know, stuff you didn't even think possible, that you haven't even seen yet. And so to get us started today, we're going to pray this dangerous prayer, if you dare. And before you commit to praying this prayer, I'm going to ask you to hear me out today, because some of you, quite frankly, at the end of this message might choose not to pray it because it's too dangerous for you. Others of you might step up to the challenge and say, okay, I'm in. I will pray this prayer. And the prayer that we are going to pray together is this prayer: speak to me. I love the fact that prayer is a dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation. So prayer is not simply me just talking to God, talking to God, talking to God. It's not me saying, God, if you'll just do what I'm thinking, it's going to work out pretty good. It's not simple and safe prayers like, God, bless me, protect me, help me, be with me, right? It's not safe, simple prayers. Maybe they're more bold type prayers that, God, I pray that you'd help me to be a better witness in my faith. Father, I pray that you would use me for the kingdom and for your glory. Sometimes our prayer life needs to go to another level. And there are sometimes that we actually need to just stop talking and start listening. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Because the truth is that God has something to say to you. He has something to say to me. The thing is, to actually ask him to speak is quite dangerous. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to take you to a story found in the book of 1 Samuel. There's this interesting context going on. I'm going to set it up for you really quickly, and then we'll look at a couple of verses. There is this priest by the name of Eli. And then there is this young boy by the name of Samuel. And it's interesting because they kind of did, for lack of a better term and explanation, they sort of did church differently way back then than we do it now. But they had like buildings like we have, and a lot of the practices and things that we actually do in our current church, as you might may know it or have experienced it, is very similar to some of the same perhaps protocol and things that they would do. The difference was that the priest actually lived there, so he would stay there. Samuel, very interesting story, and again, I don't have time to get lost in all the details, but he was also living in the temple with Eli. He was just a boy, a very young boy, probably around 10, 11, 12 years old, very young, and he's living in the temple serving under Eli. He's being groomed and trained of what it would look like to serve in God's house. And so one night they're going to bed as they normally would do, and Eli goes off into his room and he's sleeping, and Samuel goes off into his room and he's sleeping, and all of a sudden Samuel hears a voice call his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he says, and he jumps up and he runs over to Eli's room and he's like, yes, what's up? What you need? I heard you call me. And Eli's like, hey man, come on, I'm trying to fall asleep. Turn the TV down, you're making too much noise. I didn't call you, go away. And Samuel goes back to his room. Come on, all the parents resonated right there with me when I said turn that TV down. Amen. And so he runs back to his room, and again he hears his name, Samuel. Samuel, he jumps up. It's got to be Eli, because we're the only people in the house. And he runs to Eli. Yes, well, yes, well, you called me. And again, he says, I didn't call you, go back and lay down. And this happens a third time. And finally, when Samuel barges into Eli's room, and he says, what is going on? Are you tricking me? Is this a joke? I hear my name being called. What can I do for you? Eli, the Bible says, gains an awareness of what's going on. And he says, I don't think that you're hearing me. I think that you're hearing God. So the next time you hear your name, I want you to respond, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. So we'll pick the story up there. And so in 1 Samuel, then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling us the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then this young boy, this small boy, prays this very dangerous prayer, and Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. might not sound very dangerous. You're calling my name. I hear you. I'm responding. Like, what's up? What do you need? What do you want? But I'm going to show you exactly why it's a dangerous prayer. I just want you to think, for those of you that might know some things about Bible stories, maybe you've been in Sunday school before or had some experiences in church, or maybe you've heard some things about the Bible at some point in your life. How many of you would say that you can remember times in the Bible where God would speak to people and it would be easy to follow, simple to do, and would cost them nothing? I can think of about none. I mean, think about it just for a second. God would say things like, I want you to build a boat, a really big boat. Why a boat? It's going to rain. What is rain? Like, this boat's going to be about the size of a football field and a half. I'm going to need you to just pull the thing together. Oh, and by the way, if you could, just go out into the trails and just grab two of every living creature. Bring it to the boat. Sure, God. No big deal. I think of Ananias. I think we talked about him a week or two ago. Saul is persecuting and murdering Christians, and Ananias is a guy that has a heart close to God's, and God speaks to Ananias and says, hey, I have a call on Saul's life. There's something I want to do in him. I actually need you to go to him and deliver a message to him from God. That's risky. That's nerve-wracking. That is scary. God speaks to Mary, an unwed teenage girl. I actually want you to have a baby, and I want it to be the very Son of God. That's not easy for someone who's going to be a social outcast and have difficulties. The Bible says that her fiancé wanted to break off their relationship. It's not an easy call. Samuel was no exception, because when he said, speak, Lord, speak to me, I'm listening, the very next thing that God would ask him to do would be very, very difficult. He says, I actually want you to wake up in the morning, and I want you to speak to Eli, and I want you to tell him that I'm going to get him. Because I've been dealing with him about his sin, and I've been talking to him about his issues, and I've been trying to get him to listen. I've been trying to get him to implement some discipline and some different structures in life, and he will not listen to me, and he is going to suffer the consequences. And this young boy's dangerous prayer, speak to me, came with some challenging things to respond to. Maybe you've experienced this in your own prayer life. Maybe you've experienced this before, but praying speak to me can be a very, very difficult thing to do. Time and time again in my life, God has spoken to me vividly, clearly. I've heard God. And I got to tell you that every time that I know that God has spoken to me, it has almost always cost me something risky. It's leveraging. My faith has to extend, and I have to stretch. I'll never forget, we're in a season of 21 days of prayer. I've told this story before, so if you've heard it, please just go along with me. Give me some grace here, but I'll never forget working, making a very adequate income. God was calling me to pastor Church on the Rock. In fact, I was currently pastoring the church while working a full-time job where I would travel out of town all week long. And I'll never forget when God spoke to my heart in a still, small voice. It's not like I heard, you know, like it's not like I heard Morgan Freeman and King James audible voice or anything like that. I just knew. I could tell God was speaking to me. I want you to start hosting a prayer meeting at the church on Wednesday nights. To which I'm like, God, I can pray from anywhere at any point. What's up with that? I know it's going to be Wednesday nights, and I need you to lead it. And it would require me then to quit my job and go into the most unknown that I've ever experienced. Now, I would love to report to you that I was obedient to God, and he provided for me, and things were awesome. But I'm going to tell you something. I went through the most difficult financial despair my family has ever experienced. In fact, Lauren and I, when we first got married, we thought it couldn't get worse. It can. And it did. Because God spoke to me. It is a dangerous prayer. And over the course of the next 7 days, what I'm challenging you and me to do is to posture ourselves before the Lord and say, God, would you speak to me? What do you want to say? Instead of me bringing you my agenda, my thoughts, my hopes? What do you want to say? What are you trying to do in my life? God, following you is not safe. Speak to me. So I want to give you three things. We're going to break this down, and I'll move as quickly as possible. I just want to give you three things today that's going to help us to hear from God. And the first one is this, if you're a note taker, is I encourage you to be still. This is counterintuitive to everything we know right now. Everything. There's never a still time. I talk about this often. Everybody, you ask them, how you doing? What's going on in your life? How you been? And what's the response? Like almost universally, busy. I'm so busy. Oh, I'm busy. It's like a stamp of approval. It's like if you're not overwhelmingly busy, you're not really living this life. It's what it seems. But there's something that God is calling us to, and it's stillness. God is saying, hey, can you just put the phone away? Can you turn off Netflix for a minute? Can you do something different? Can you just have some space and some time with me and be still? How many of you can easily watch an hour of Netflix in a day? Can easily scroll on social media for an hour each day? Could easily spend an hour in the gym each day? Could easily spend an hour sitting at a table eating food throughout the day? Come on, right? Like it's easy for us to put that time into something else. Maybe God, for at least this season, is saying, would you just separate? Can I have an hour? Would you just push everything else away and be still? Because the Bible tells us, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Calm down. Shh. Push some distractions out of the way. Make some space for me. The Bible says this, when you pray, Jesus talking, go into your room. Shut the door. Like, get away from the noise. Go meet with God. What's the Bible say? In a private place. Here's my challenge to you. Here's my challenge, because some of you long for a better prayer life. You don't know how to have a prayer life. You've never seen it. You've never experienced it. You're trying, but you don't know what to do. I'm encouraging you to be still. Here's my challenge. 1 hour every day for the next 21 days. You just make time for God. Push away every other thing. Maybe that means you show up to the building and you're here from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. and you're praying with us for that hour each day. Maybe it's Sunday morning. I'm not making church an option. It is part of my calendar. It's my schedule. I'm going. I will be in the house of God. Maybe you're just tuning in digitally online. Maybe 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. doesn't work for you, but we're going to archive that for you. So maybe you just pick an hour, a time, a space in your day that you say, I am going to be still. I'm going to get before God. I'm going to let him speak to me. God, I'm trying to hear you. Would you speak? It's a challenge. It's a dangerous thing to do, but God, would you just speak to me? I need to hear from you. God will speak to you in a lot of different ways. God speaks to his people through his Bible, through his word. I honestly put the words Bible on purpose because I think it's a little bit Christianese for me to say he'll speak to you through his word. And those of you that don't know that we Christians call the Bible the word, you'd be like, well, of course, what else would he use to talk? It's his word, the word of God. It's living and breathing. It is active and alive. I've heard this said and like how it said that it's the only book that when you read it, it reads you. God will use the Bible to speak and to communicate with you. If you don't know where to start, get on your smartphone, get on your device, download the YouVersion, YOUVersion Bible app. Just look for this. Type in dangerous prayers, and it'll give you 7 days of content that you can get into God's word. Amen. It's pouring down raining right now, so if it's distracting you at home, bear with us, okay? God also speaks through people. God can use people to speak to you. Maybe it's a message on Sunday morning. Maybe it's YouTubing your favorite pastor that you love to listen to. Maybe it's going to be your boss, that God will actually use an unsaved person to speak to you in some way that you like, I think I just heard from God. He'll do it. He uses donkeys and all kind of other things to communicate. God will talk. He has something to say. God will speak to you through circumstances. Sometimes just circumstances alone will be the nudging, the leading, the guiding of God, trying to tell you something, draw you towards something, shift your thinking, change your direction. He wants to speak to you. And finally, I'm just giving you some ideas through his spirit. So I think particularly those of you that are younger in your faith, you're like, I don't understand how I can hear from God. Like, I don't really understand. Like, these are some examples. But let me tell you something, Christian. If you're a Christ follower, the Spirit of the living God is in you. Amen. You. I don't care if you think you deserve it or not. I don't care if you believe it or not. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit of the living God taking up his residence in you. And it's amazing how he can communicate softly, a sense, a draw, a nudge, a belief. I just feel like this or that. I just sense that I'm going this way. And I mean, it happens to us all the time, doesn't it? It might be the leading of the Holy Spirit saying, I want to take you into a direction. I want to speak to you. Amen. Let's move on. You guys okay? Having fun yet? All right. Another thing I want to encourage you to do to hear from God is to be willing. Be willing to what? Like, to respond, to listen to what God has to say. The Bible says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you a path to take. I think this is why asking God to speak to you is dangerous. Because the Bible makes a promise that if you ask him, he'll tell you something. He's going to speak to you. And it's our responsibility and it's our job to be willing. Like, okay, God, I've heard you. Now I've got to get into action. Here's what I want to encourage you to be willing to do. I see people taking notes, and I know that I'm moving fast, but I kind of have to. I got a lot to say and a limited amount of time to do it. Amen. Come on. I want to encourage you to be willing to hear. Like, be willing to hear. Some of you, I'm gonna step on some toes a little bit, might step on my own toes a little bit. Some of you are praying, but you're not willing to hear. The Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to his church. You're the church. This address, this building, that's not the church. You're the church. And I just know from my own experience in different seasons of my life that there have been times that I'm like, God, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to do this Christian thing, but I'm not listening to you in that sector of my life. And so I'm challenging you and me. Let's just be willing to hear, and then let's be willing to evaluate. Okay, I've heard God. Now let's measure some things. Let's ask some questions. I laugh at myself. And I laugh at people sometimes that they keep getting a result they don't like, and then they don't change what they're doing to get it. And maybe after hearing from God, you're hearing some things that are challenging, perhaps some decisions you're making, some habits that you have, some things that you do, things that you don't do. Maybe it's time to say, okay, God, I'm hearing you in this area of my life that I've covered my ears on for a while, and I'm going to evaluate what I think I really need to do to get the result that I think you're calling me to have. Amen. Amen. You guys okay? All right, I'm moving on. Point number three. Here we go. I'm going to land the plane right here. Number three, and this is the big challenge, I think, is that I want to encourage you to be ready. So we're going to create a posture and some space. We try to help you actually with this. Like, our heart is to help you be still. That's why we put on prayer services. In fact, let me tell you one of the best benefits of a prayer service, especially if you don't know how to pray, is to watch other people do it. Like, it'll grow you. Because if you feed things, they grow. And if you starve things, they die. And if you want to feed your prayer life, I encourage you to get into a prayer atmosphere. And so for you, I'm going to be still. I'm going to dedicate an hour. And then I'm going to be willing to listen. God, I'm going to hear, and I'm going to evaluate, but then I've got to be ready to respond and to put into action what I've heard. The Bible says this, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So it's good to hear. All right, God, I've heard from you. But then the Bible says, then you got to do something about it, because if you don't, you're deceiving yourself. It's a little bit foolish. All right, as I close, everybody okay? I really am encouraged by all the note takers in the room, and I hope those of you online are also taking notes. Be ready to change. Be ready to stretch. Be ready to grow. Be ready. Be ready. Because God's calling you to more. Let's do it carefully. He has something to say. I'm going to end with a story. I think that's it. That's it. And I'm going to push this out of the way, everybody. I'm going to mess up all my camera people right now. It's okay. I'm coming back. To the heart of worship. No, it's all about you. Amen. So I want to tell just a story of a time in my life where I heard from God. And so some of you, again, you've heard this story. Just give me some grace, if you would, and just work with me, because I think it could mean something perhaps to some of you. And so long time ago, I just stepped into the lead pastor role of Church on the Rock. Dream come true. Dreams are coming true. I'm telling you all the time. I'm more passionate, I think, now than I ever have been. And I was fired up and excited. And so, at the time, it was a much smaller church and, a much smaller team. And we were just doing our best, man. We were doing our best to just serve people. And so we had this praise and worship team, these people, and when I say a praise and worship team, I mean hey, brother, hey, I heard you play the guitar. Well, kind of. Hey, do you love Jesus? Yeah, get up there. We need you. Get up. You know what I mean? There was no such thing as an audition. How's their voice? All right, we'll take them. I mean, it was like that. I'm just being honest. And so anyway, we're doing services, and just handful of people coming on a Sunday morning and doing a little worship, doing a little preaching, and just trying to serve people, trying to grow, I feel called by God to grow his kingdom. Amen. So if you have a problem with us counting stuff, you ain't gonna like it here. That's a side note. And so just doing our best to serve. Well, what started happening that nobody knew, I knew, and some people knew, that on this platform, of course, it didn't look like this back then. It was a whole different, everything was different. And on this platform among this team was unbelievable friction, tension, and personalities weren't really meshing well. And to be honest with you, we did not even have a leader on the team. Like, nobody even wanted to step up and say, I'll take the lead. It was just like, I'll contribute, I'll help. I mean, it was a beautiful picture of making a difference. They were serving, I can't take credit away from their contribution to what we were trying to do. There was all this tension and friction going on among this team. Oh, it was horrible. And there was one lady and one guy in particular that they were kind of they just went head to head all the time. And on the back end, I was doing my best to manage tensions and help, come on now, we're a family, let's unify in a purpose. And I'm just trying to be a good leader. And I remember one time I had this great idea. It was kind of good. And I said, hey, I need both of you to come to my office. And so I set up a meeting, and I had each of them in my office. And what I'd done before they had gotten there is I'd made a list of this woman who was a single mother, who was doing all that she could do to just kind of make ends meet. And I mean, just the pressure of life was pretty overwhelming. She had a lot going on in her life. And I just made a list of all the challenges that I knew she was facing. I made a list. And then this gentleman was running a business and had just given his life to Christ in recent months, he had the pressure of the current economy and his employees and all that. I mean, he had his own list of things, and he was a stepdad. I mean, there was all kinds of pressures going on in his life. And so when they came into the office, I said, okay, listen, sir, I want to just tell you what's going on in her life. And I just read. She's crying. And then I said, okay, but I need to tell you what's going on in his life. And then I just read all my things. And I said, I think that this stuff matters, And so what I want to do, sir, I want to ask you to pray for her and all the things going on in her life. And ma'am, I want you to pray for him and all the things going on in his life. Let's pray. Just like that. I didn't let him talk back. I just asked them to pray. And they both did. In fact, one of them came back to me later and said, I don't know how you did that. But I refuse to pray out loud in front of anybody. But you didn't really leave me much option. I had to. So, that's right, you know, stretch your faith. And that helped for a minute. And we forgot, and we went back to the friction and the tension. And so I got to get this story told. And so I started, I was so, like, God, I got to do something. I've got to lead. This is my problem. I got to lead. And so for some amount of time, I don't know, some amount of time, I woke up every morning at 5:30 a.m. I went out into my living room, and I just prayed, God, speak to me. I don't know what to do. I don't have any, I can't fire him. I got nobody else. I don't even know what to do. Would you speak? Would you speak? And day after day after day after day, I would show up at 5:30 and I would meet with God and I would pray. And I'll never forget the morning that God spoke to me. And it was as if I could hear his voice like in my spirit. I knew exactly what he said and I knew exactly what to do. It's the only time I can ever remember in all of my time as the pastor of this church that I universally made a decision with zero input from any team anywhere. I'm like a team thinker, and I like the involvement of the people that see different perspectives. This is the one time I knew what God said. No one else got to speak. God spoke. And here's what God said. He said, I want you to suspend live praise and worship for no less than 4 weeks. And that's all he said. And I'm like, can we talk about this? Because we have this event thing that we had put together and we were actually inviting people from the community into, and worship was like this major part of it. It's like, in fact, probably 50% of the whole thing. And like, God, can we just, like, can we wait till after? Or you got a different plan? I had heard from God. And so I called the team into a meeting, and I sat right here. They would have come in here to rehearse, and I said, no, we got to have a meeting first. And God said, kind of on the, like, the B part, I'm going to reveal some hearts to you. You're going to see the hearts of people because of this. And so I just sat down and said, hey, guys, so good to see you. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming. But there's no reason for you to practice tonight, because we're not going to do worship on Sunday. In fact, we won't do worship for the next 4 weeks and perhaps longer, because God has spoken to me and God said no less than 4 weeks, which means it could be longer, but it won't be shorter. And so, thank you. That was about it. Yeah. And one guy left. He never came back. Over time, some other people would leave. Some people transitioned into other Dream Team areas and started to make incredible impacts, really found their passion and gifting and began to really see fruit in what they were doing as a serve rather than what they were, you know, trying to do. It was a pretty cool time. And so on Sunday mornings, we'd show up and push play on a computer and have audio only. I'll give you a little tip. If you're ever thinking of planting a church and starting out, and you have this idea that you don't need a worship leader, yes, you do. Don't. It's a bad strategy not to. That season, God said no less than 4 weeks, lasted more than 1 year, where we would show up here and hit play, and do we have to play that same song? I'm tired of that same song. And more kind of skilled people would come in, and Pastor, don't you think that we should just blah, blah, blah? And the enormous amount of pressure for me to do differently than what God had said. And I said, I asked God to speak to me. And I'm going to tell you something. It was a dangerous prayer. And then I met him. I'm good, aren't I? Then I met Aaron in the right time at the right season. He came into our church and he began to pioneer something that we had never, you know, done before, in a way that we had never done it before. And I don't even know how many years ago that was, but look, it was a long time. And here he is, and we have a depth of a friendship, and he's raising up other leaders, and he's not our only worship leader, he's one of them. And He's empowering others, and we have teams on rotations, and we have more giftedness than we've ever had, and more creativity than we've ever had. It's unbelievable. And I'm just telling you this testimonial story, and you led us in a brand new song about testimonies. You're a testimony. You know, you're an answer to prayer when I said, speak to me. I didn't know that Aaron Gray was the answer until more than a year later. But had I not been still, willing, and ready, I don't know if we would even know each other. But we do. I love you, man. Yeah, give it up. All right. I'm only 4 minutes, 53 seconds and counting beyond my time. That's it. I challenge you, Church on the Rock. I challenge me to pray this week for the next 7 days. A very dangerous prayer. God, speak to me. Speak to me. What would you say? I encourage us all. Oh, let's just uncover and say, okay, you can speak to anything, anywhere. Just speak to me, and let's just see what God might say. Every head bowed, every eye closed, all across the auditorium, no one looking around, please. I have to end this way. I have to, or I really haven't fulfilled the call. Maybe you're in this room right now or tuning in online, and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. But today, you've heard the Spirit of God speaking to you. And he's saying, come, follow me. I want you to respond. It's worth it. Following Jesus isn't meant to be safe, but it's the most rewarding thing your life will ever experience. So if that's you, it's very simple. I want to encourage you to choose Jesus today. Just make a decision. Yes, I will follow Christ with my life. And I'm going to start today. If that's you, I want to encourage you to say a prayer with me. If you're in this room, I want to encourage you to repeat this prayer out loud with me. Maybe you're watching from your home or your bedroom or wherever you may be. I want to encourage you to repeat this prayer with me. Here's why. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. I just want to help you to do that. You've already gotten to a place where you believe. I just want to help you with the confession. So church, you know how we do it if you're in the building. I want everybody to repeat this prayer after with me. And then right there where you are, I just want you to boldly declare it. Let's say it out loud. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, it is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Church, would you just put your hands together and just congratulate those that made that decision? You guys are awesome. I love y'all.